This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
My name is Denise Blair, and I will be interviewing DeKalb Baptist in Freeport, Long Island. Today is October 23rd, 2020. Do you give me permission to record and distribute this oral history?
Yes.
I'm going to start out by asking you a couple of questions about yourself before we jump into the interview. First, how old are you?
28.
What's your occupation?
I work with individuals who are diagnosed with autism.
How do you racially identify?
African American.
Your gender identity?
Male.
Sexual orientation?
Female.
And where are you from?
New York. America.
Okay. How has the coronavirus changed your life?
It opened my eyes to basically be thankful for the things that I do have, with all of the deaths and all of the people who are affected by it, all of the jobs closing. It just showed me that I should be more financially stable and have money put away for tough times, because you never know what can happen. It's a pandemic. It was unplanned. And, my father's sick, so that's a touchy subject as well, because he's more susceptible to get it.
What was it like to be home so often?
In the beginning, it was what I needed, you know, to clear my mind, to take a little mental break from, you know, reality. But after a while, it just got too boring. I needed to go outside. I got tired of being confined to one room.
Were you out of work?
Yes. Temporarily. Not as long as others, but for a while, my job was quarantined, so I was unable to go there for 21 days.
Okay. How did it impact you mentally and emotionally?
It frightened me. I was scared. You know, we were so uninformed. So it's not like it was steps I could take to, like, we didn't know anything about it, really. So there was no way to know, like, if it was curable, if it could be prevented. So it just left me worrying, scared to even go outside, especially with the fact that I have sick people in my household. You know, I didn't want to, like, go out and get it and bring it back to them.
Did you know anyone personally who had it or died from it?
No.
How has it impacted you socially?
It put a damper on, like, me going out, me seeing friends, me being social in general, because everything closed down. You got to, you know, try to avoid spreading. You didn't know, since it's symptomatic, is it asymptomatic? Well, like, since you can't really tell who has it or who doesn't have it, I just tried to avoid everybody as much as I could.
Are the people in your household working?
No.
Were they working before Corona?
Yes.
What have you learned about yourself and your family since the beginning of this crisis?
That we're tough. We're tough, but we was a little bit unprepared. But it's a learning experience.
Have you guys gotten closer since you've been in the house all the time together?
No. I don't think so.
What has been the hardest part of this pandemic for you?
I would say just having to be, I'm someone who's somewhat of a rebel, and the fact that I have to be confined to my house is, you know, makes me just want to defy.
Has there been anything positive to come out of this pandemic for you?
Seeing as I was out of work for a little bit, I put my mind towards something, and I ended up starting a little sock business.
Can you tell us more about that?
I basically designed socks and packaged them real nice and sold them. It started off as a hobby, but then like a lot of people were saying that they will offer me money for it. Well, a lot of people were offering me money for it, so I decided why not just sell it to cover the fact that I was out of a job.
And was that successful for you?
Yeah, it was pretty. I still, make a couple here and there. Not as much since the summer's over now, but.
And the seasonal thing?
It's time consuming. So, yes, it was more like a seasonal thing, but I can continue to do it. It's just now that I'm back at work and things are slowly but surely opening, I don't have as much time to put towards that.
What do you think the nation and the world should learn from this pandemic?
Just be more prepared as best as you can. And try to, save money if you can. The stability of financial stability is a big thing because a lot of people were left stuck and stranded. No food, no money. Having to rely on the government to provide.
Pretend that I am an alien. Explain to me why have these anti-racist protests erupted?
I want to say that they erupted after the death of George Floyd and the death of Breonna Taylor. A lot of people were in outrage because it seems like every so often there's a African-American being harmed or wrongfully killed, to be honest, by the police. And we just really just want peace and equality and justice.
Why do you think New York City became an epicenter of the protest?
New York became the epicenter for it all because we pretty much diverse. So all races stood up and we just want peace and justice. We went to school. For the most part, we had to learn the Pledge of Allegiance. And in the Pledge of Allegiance, it states justice. I'm pledging allegiance to the flag. To the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Since you were so active in these protests, where were they? Where were the ones that you took place at?
I went to a few of them. I went to one over in, by Rockville Center. I went to most of them in Manhattan.
The uprisings across the country shifted how you think about your ethnic identity and your place in U.S. society.
I feel like my place in the U.S. society is being taken for granted. I don't feel that I'm treated equally. I feel like everyone or other, like as a minority, I feel like it's almost as if we just, like I said, taken for granted. That we unappreciated. When you think about it, it's like we're blackballed in certain things. We're unable to purchase certain, like we're unable to receive and reap the same benefits that other races are. So it's,
right.
It's a little unfair.
Do you have any stories you're willing to share from the encounters you've had with racism or the police?
I would hate to say it or make a joke out of it, but Starbucks is, I used to work at Starbucks and it's pretty demanding and you get a lot of people of Caucasian ethnicity and for whatever reason they feel as if they can talk to you any kind of way because you're back there making their drinks. Not all of them, but you get a lot of the older ones who just feel as if they can speak to you any kind of way. Or demand you to do things, or if you make a mistake, it's like it's almost as if they're gonna penalize you as if they were your boss or something.
Right. Are more stories among friends and family members being shared about racism and the police since the protest started?
Yes. It's almost sickening to realize how often or how scared we are to come out because maybe we don't see, like maybe we feel as if we speak, like it's just gonna go unheard of, or no one's really gonna pay attention. But when you get amongst these protests and rallies and you get amongst your peers, you really see that you're not the only one that's been encountering these things. You're not the only one who feel as if you're being harassed by police just because of the color of your skin or just because where you're from or how you dress or where you live or how you carry yourself.
Right. Since you have you only been active in protests in person, or do you protest on your social media as well?
I really rather do it in person because I feel like on social media you get a bunch of ignorance, or people take it for a joke, or you get into arguments with people who really is not outside, so they don't know. They just speak from a place or speaking from the comfort of their own homes, so they can't really dictate or say. Like they don't have any familiarities with, like, what's going on in the street.
What made you decide to get involved?
I'm just fed up. I'm tired of, like, feeling as if I have the same credentials as someone as in a different race, why shouldn't we have the same opportunities? Or if someone of an African-American descent or any type of minority commits a crime, why are we being penalized but the people in other races aren't? Or why do you see that most of the deaths that go viral are always an African-American person being shot or being harmed in a way that's unethical?
Right. Did you take part in the rioting and looting part as well, or just the protest?
Just the protesting part. I think that the rioting is gonna set back a lot of the communities because you're burning down the places where you live and expecting different results. I didn't really understand that part. That didn't have anything to do with what we were initially rioting for or protesting for. The riot just, I guess, was anger more than looking for a change.
How have the past few months changed how you think about police and racism in the U.S.? Does it make you look at police any differently?
I don't want to put all of the onus on police because I do feel like just because there's a couple of bad apples doesn't mean that the whole batch is no good. But I just feel like maybe they should work on a different type of training or more of a mental thing. Like maybe they should take more psych tests or trainings of that sort before they just become police officers, because at the end of the day, we're all humans. We all have a family to go home to. So I can understand if you feel like your life may be threatened or in danger, so you would react in a way that's normal. But like harming these people or just taking it a little too far because of the position of power that you have is really besides the point.
Do you think that more people were at the protest because it was during Corona and everyone was home and out of work? Do you think that the same amount of people would have came out if they had work?
Yes, because I feel like it's a time for us to stand up and fight for what we believe in. It's not a... I've called out of work plenty of times to go to these protests, and sometimes my manager would understand it and sometimes she just didn't.
What have you seen your peers doing that inspires you?
They've been, like it's little things. Like they might shop with the black people, African-American people, or not even just that, just local businesses. They, instead of using money to purchase like clothes and jewelry, they're trying to purchase, you know, land or businesses or like just open up things that's gonna make it better for the generation ahead.
What do you think about the cops' response to protests that began in May 2020?
I feel like they're just uninformed. They want us to just think that this. I feel as if we're in America and everyone should have the same freedom. I just feel like I feel like they take us for granted. They think this is a dictatorship that they can just move or go about things however they see fit. I can understand that everyone can maybe having a bad day, but your bad day shouldn't lead to a death of anyone, any race.
What do you think about the local and national government's response to protests that began in May 2020?
I feel like at first, maybe they didn't think it was going to go as far as it did. I didn't even think it was going to go as far as it did. But I feel like they became... I feel like their eyes were open. They were aware. They'd seen how serious we are about it, about equality. And although it's not an overnight thing or a one-day thing, I feel like things are changing. I feel like the younger generation are somewhat less racist. And I feel like when a child is born, they're not born racist. The racism or, like, the way that they brought up is what would lead to them being racist. And I feel like a lot of the younger generation, the younger parents, are not taught that way. They're taught, because we grew up in such a diverse area, your best friend could be any race, and it wouldn't be frowned upon in no way.
With your, you said that you have people at home that are sick. What made you continue to go to the protest knowing that there were high risk for COVID?
My father's tough, and he said if that's what you want to do, then he's not going to stop me from doing it. He actually admires it. So it's almost as if I went out there with him in my mind and all my thoughts. And it carried a piece of him with me because he also went through the same things when he was younger around the Martin Luther King times and stuff of that nature. He went through, he experienced firsthand racism. So he's going to be with whatever when it comes to trying to put a stop to it.
When things started getting dangerous, did you continue to go?
Yes. I feel like I tried to be as nonviolent as possible. I tried to avoid much of it as I possibly could. I did most of it in the daytime. When the nighttime came, I really wasn't outside.
You respected the curfew that they set?
Yes.
How did you prepare to go knowing that they were shooting people and stuff like that?
I feel like it's more or less... The cops who were there, although you may see on the news where you see them, like, a lot of incidents where they're attacking, you gotta also think that they're undermanned, they're in duress, in distress. There's a lot going on, but when you're really there, you see most of them, I want to say like 70% of the people that I met, they were for it. They didn't have a problem with it, they just needed to feel the comfortability of being safe. It's not like they were telling us to stop. They weren't, like, stopping us from doing anything. They weren't just, like, attacking us for no reason. It was only when things began to get rowdy that they just acted in a defensive way. But I feel like the cops were pretty much on board for the protest.
Do you consider yourself an activist?
No. I wouldn't consider myself an activist. I just feel like I'm standing up for what I believe is right.
Okay. How would you like to see this movement resolved?
I just want equality for everyone, every race, not just African-American, just Spanish people. I just want, there shouldn't be no such thing as a minority, majority. It should just be, we're all one, we're all human. Everyone should have the same opportunities.
And what's your role in achieving that outcome?
Just day-to-day, trying to do whatever I can to make people aware.
Is there anything else about the anti-racist uprising you'd like to share?
I feel like it made a big push towards... I feel like it's just all about awareness. You can't fix something if you're unaware of it. So now that I feel like all of the governments and they see how serious we are about it and how serious we are looking to just be treated equally, we're not asking for anything obscene or absurd. We just want to be treated fairly. If I do something and someone of another race does the same thing, I don't see why our charges should be different. We should be penalized. If we're going to be penalized, we should be penalized equally or the same.
Is there anything you think that I should have asked you that I haven't asked yet?
I feel like we pretty much covered everything. You didn't really ask about my views on certain things like the George Floyd thing or...
So would you like to speak about your views on those?
I feel like, honestly, with the George Floyd thing, I feel it wasn't necessarily like anything about him. It's just the fact that it just was like a reminder of the Eric Garner case where he was choked out. Actually, here in New York, he was choked to death just for selling cigarettes. And George Floyd was pretty much choked to death. Although he was resisting, he didn't have to, like... I know I have family members who work with police, and they say, like, you're allowed to use excessive force if you are in danger or you're going to match the force. Just because he was resisting arrest, I don't think that calls for you to... like stand on his neck for 8 minutes or however long it was. That's a bit excessive. But other than that, I feel like, you know.
And your views on Breonna?
I feel like it was, it just wasn't a time to go.
Is that all?
Yes.
Well, that concludes everything. Thank you.
You're welcome.